HDN.
Listen to Wednesday song. It's not you go home alone.
Hey, it's Wednesday already.
Is it Wednesday already?
Can you believe that? Halfway through the work week.
And the month, too. This is the 15th.
That's right. Happy October 15th. This is Jamie and Lisa from the Beaver Bank Bunker.
And things are going from bad to worse for our Halifax Mooseheads player that has been arrested on impaired driving charges.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Viewick, 19 years old. We told you about this yesterday. Is allegedly involved in a collision with a parked car in Dartmouth last week. Apparently, he blew twice over the legal limit. And the investigation continues. The team has said that he's a member of the family. We'll stand behind him. But now, come to find out, well, at least the Chronicle Herald is reporting, that after the crash, witnesses allegedly saw Viewick dumping small amounts of a white powder believed to be cocaine onto a lawn. Police not confirming this, and all they will say is that the matter is still under investigation. Now, the GM for the Mooseheads, Cam Russell, no comment on this latest development, but here's hoping that they get this kid some help, because he's got a pretty decent future ahead of him. This is what
He was just invited to the Calgary Flames development camp earlier this year.
When
you've got a future that bright, well, maybe it was the Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yeah, I think it was leading up to the Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Maybe it was baking powder.
Could be. Baking soda.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Could have been flour. He might have been going to make some gravy.
Or a cake.
Maybe.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really, because he was still blowing twice over the
Yeah, exactly.
He's practicing to be a real hockey player.
God.
Usually you make the fame and then the fortune, then you do stupid things like this.
Yeah,
you don't do stupid things off the bat, although maybe he's getting it out of the way.
Oh, God, but where in the name of God does a 19-year-old find cocaine? I don't know. I just ran with a different crowd when I was 19.
I think, hey, old lady Blackburn, why don't you ask your daughter where you can get it? I'm sure she can go to school and come back with it within a matter of minutes.
Good Lord.
Yeah, the times, they are changing.
Yeah, so Brandon, get it together, buddy. You got a good future ahead of you. Don't screw it up. Hurricane Gonzalo could be heading our way.
Gonzalo,
yeah.
Gonzalo.
Hey, don't make fun. We made fun of Juan, and look what happened. He turned around and he kicked our ass.
We didn't make fun of Juan. Well, let's play the game tape.
Hey, Juan's coming.
All right. I guess you're right. Sorry. Wow, I forgot about that tape.
Gonzalo.
I didn't even know we were doing the podcast back then.
See?
That's amazing.
Our history goes back deeper than you could ever imagine. Gonzalo, now a major hurricane, certainly bearing down on Bermuda.
Oh, really?
But they are thinking that perhaps by the weekend it could be brushing the tail end of Cape Breton and definitely Newfoundland. Anyway, it's just one of those things that we're going to keep an eye on. It's certainly not on track to directly hit us, but...
Well, we got to check with Frankie McDonald.
That's right, Frankie. If anybody knows, Frankie will know.
It's coming your way, Frankie.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Hurricane Gonzalez now headed for Newfoundland on Sunday, October the 19th, 2014. It's going to bring very strong winds. It's going to be a lot of wind-driven rain, sideways rain. It's going up to 40-plus millimeters of rain, especially in St. John's, Newfoundland.
And speaking of these big storms, did you see that typhoon that went over Japan? The aerial shot? Unbelievably large.
Also unbelievably large is the amount of money that Nova Scotia continues to throw at the Nova Star Ferry. Yes, come to find out that the province gave Nova Star's owners another $5 million yesterday to cover their losses over this past summer's sailings. So for those of you keeping score, the province of Nova Scotia, i.e. Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, they have now contributed $26 million to the project, $13 million spent by tourists this year. Now, originally the province...
But that's okay, because all that money, it's going to pay off, because we're going to have cheap, affordable crossings. That's the thing. We put in that much money. It must just cost, a loony to...
Cheap, affordable crossings that are steered by unicorns.
Yeah. How much were they again? If I was bringing the family of four, you said that in an earlier podcast.
If you did. Now, they did lower it a little bit, but it
So it's not an arm and a leg. Now it's an
arm
or a leg, which is nice. At least we're given the choice now.
I think when all was said and done originally, if you had a family of four with a vehicle and a pet, you were staying overnight in a cabin and you were eating, it was going to be close to $1,000.
Yeah, it would cost less to rent a car and drive the family down there, wouldn't it?
Oh, and go up and around and through New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez. Cheaper to rent a motorhome, like an RV or something like that. Well, the scary part is that Nova Scotia did promise $21 million for this Nova Star ferry. That was going to be their investment.
Yeah.
But that was over 7 years. We went through that $21 million in about 7 months.
And now the hand's out there again, and they're wanting more.
Yeah.
And if we say no, then they just pack up shop, send the ferry, sell the ferry for scrap or wherever the cat went to, just replace the cat. Where is the cat anyway? Where,
what happened to the cat? Yeah.
I think it was your dad that said that it's down like a ferry service between tropical islands and the Caribbean
something like
that.
I think I remember hearing that, yeah. Either
well,
way.
Well, they've basically got us over a barrel because if we stop paying them the money, they'll just stop the ferry.
Now the whole thing scares me.
Yeah.
Hey, if you live in Dartmouth, here's a chance to be a star. Love this. Founded on Kijiji. The Real Housewives of Dartmouth casting call. Looking for lovely ladies to film the next installment of the Real Housewives franchise, this time in the very luxurious metropolis of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
The Real Housewives of Dartmouth?
Looking for quite the variation, but below are some of the qualities. Requirements. Must go to the tanning bed between 1 and 14 times a week. Must smoke cigarettes, and if not, must be a closet smoker or bum smokes after a bottle of wine while using the phrase, "Oh my God, my husband kids would kill me." Must be a religious shopper of the Tacoma Drive Sobeys.
Okay, this is a joke, right?
Unless the sales are better at the Braemar Superstore. I think it is, but it's very well written. Must drive Honda Civic or minivan, but secretly miss the liberty and freedom of her Pontiac Sunfire. And must keep kids enrolled in some sort of activity, but only so they are out of the house more often and she can judge the other mothers while at practice or rehearsal. So there you go. Look it up on Kijiji if you're interested. Looking for somebody on contract only.
Oh, that is funny. I think we should have the Real Housewives of Beaver Bank.
Oh, God.
Oh, the Real Housewives of Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Well, I mean, you
could
just go
be...
through the list. The Real Housewives of Bedford, the Real Housewives of
Meat Cove.
North End, Halifax.
Meat Cove.
The Real Housewives of Meat Cove, Cape Breton.
There you go. You'd have to have more subtitles than a Honey Boo Boo episode.
Oh, we lost another one this week. Dorothy Margaret Pickram, 97 years old, made it through the Halifax explosion as an infant and just passed away on Tuesday. She survived the disaster in 1917 as a nine-month-old. Her mother survived as well, and after the explosion, actually, was involved in a bit of a dispute with another survivor, a grief-stricken woman who had lost her own baby. And was convinced that that Dorothy was the baby that she, you know, they were it was scary. Now, it turns out that Dorothy was actually scarred for life.
Just from the tug of war between those two women.
What a sin. But no, she was actually in a carriage next to the stove at the time of the explosion. Right. And a part of the stove landed on her leg and burned her knee. And she actually sustained the scar on her knee till the day she died. And she said it was a constant reminder of what happened in the city that day almost a century ago. So, yeah, God love her, Dorothy Margaret Pickram, 97 years old, and they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer.
You know, it's interesting chatting with seniors who are in and around the Halifax area, and we did have our chance to do that, where they said they basically grew up with so many thousands upon thousands of people who were scarred, physically deformed because of that explosion. People were walking around, like many, many people were walking around with these deformities. And I was told that they, you know, parents would just say like, that's from the explosion. Come on, honey, let's not look. Don't stare, you know. And it's like, I know in my generation, we had the thalidomide. That was right during that period of time. I was born early 60s, and that's kind of when you had all these thalidomide babies born. And so I went to school. I think I always had somebody who was the result of thalidomide in my class, like growing up with me.
Wow.
And maybe one or two years ahead and one or two years behind. Mm-hmm. But that's it. And I don't think your generation or many of the other generations before that really had that type of an experience where,
I'm sure. No, I didn't. But I'm sure.
In Britain, I'm sure that they did, but from World War II, from the bombings.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And a lot of, the soldiers that came home after World War II, same sort of thing. They were, definitely lost limbs and whatnot. But if I remember correctly, I think the Halifax School for the Blind was started in the wake of the Halifax explosion.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because there were so many people blinded.
By all the glass and by
everything.
Exactly. That explosion was the largest non-nuclear explosion ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah. Of course, the city is already gearing up for the 100th anniversary of the explosion, and fingers crossed.
Please don't tell me they're going to be fireworks. No. That would be tacky.
Too soon. Let's hope that we do have a few survivors left for that celebration. I seriously doubt it.
Was it 1917?
Yeah. So 2017 is when they're going to have the...
Maybe some of the babies, but they'd have to be centurions.
Yeah, exactly. That's a tall order.
Not only would these people have to be over 100 years old and been here when they were a baby, but they would have had to have survived the largest non-nuclear explosion in history.
Yeah, wow. And it'd be hard to find, if they're still living here, because, there are still survivors that have moved elsewhere and live elsewhere in Canada, so.
Something about the whole city blowing up makes you think, maybe we should move.
Let's relocate.
Let's pull up stakes. Oh, we don't have to pull up stakes. They're up.
They pulled up and blew away. We're out of here.
Do you want to say I received some comments about yesterday's podcast, about my comments on the accessible parking?
Ah, yes.
I in no way was saying I do not agree with those.
Okay.
You were just saying that you see people parking and taking up two or three spaces, but you give them a pass because they've got the little sticker there on the car, the license plate. I'm saying don't give them a pass. That's why they have those special parking spaces.
Right.
And
but
you
if
said,
they're full?
Well, they were full. Well, if they're full, you drive around until they're not full, like the rest of us. It's not like these are spaces for medevacs or it's like, quick, emergency. We got to haul these people out of the Sobeys. Yes, I completely understand. You'd need the access to the front door because you're either in a wheelchair or whatever. But you don't need it immediately. You don't need a defibrillator or anything. You can drive around a few times. Don't take our spaces. That's like me saying, well, all my spaces were full, so I just took that one with the blue square there. I don't do that. So don't park in two of my spaces just because your accessible parking space is taken. You get those nice luxury parking spaces because you need the access. I completely agree with that. But if they're full, then you're going to have to wait like everybody else. That's all I'm saying. But what's really the worst of all is inside the stores.
Yeah, the battle's only begun once you get through the parking lot.
Yeah, the parking lot. Then you get in. I think people should have a license before they're given a cart at Costco. You need to get a license. And the same rules of the road apply inside of Costco, anywhere else. You stay to the right and you move it.
Right.
You can't just stop and chat with somebody halfway along. You can't stop and camp your cart out at the end because somebody is cooking up samples that'll be ready in 20 minutes.
Right.
Because you're blocking everybody. You've got to keep it moving, stay to the right.
Or, pull over and flash to let people know that you're going to be stopping for a spell.
The people that bring the carts to the meat section and just park them there and block off like all the beef and half the pork because they're looking at the chicken. Leave your cart somewhere else. You can actually walk the 3 feet across the aisle to just be there as a human being. You don't need your cart with you everywhere you go. You're not attached to the cart. And really, if you think about it, the stuff in the cart, it's not yours anyway. You haven't paid for it yet.
That's right. So if somebody takes it, it's okay.
Yeah, but you don't have to protect it.
It's not the last pallet of toilet paper known to man.
Put the cart. Oh, I got to tell you, I did something. This was about 2 weeks ago at Costco. I forgot all about this. I did that very thing. I parked my cart over to the side and went and grabbed some meat or whatever and went back to the cart. They didn't have what I was looking for.
Right.
So I just grabbed the cart and I went. And I was about halfway through the store before I realized it wasn't my cart.
Oh, good. I had a woman do that to me at the superstore last week.
Why am I buying diapers? Yeah. Like, what the hell? And I thought, oh, my God. So I brought it back. And thank God the woman is kind of looking for her cart.
Yeah.
It was like right by mine. I just kind of left it there and grabbed mine and took off. She didn't quite see that I was doing the magic disappearing cart trick.
You should have rolled it right up to her and said it was the new Costco valet service. Yeah. Here you go, ma'am. Your cart.
Your cart, ma'am. And then hold up my hand for a tip.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
How embarrassing was that, though? Thank God there wasn't a child in there. That would have been, I wouldn't have put that past me. You know what? When I'm in the zone and I'm shopping.
In the Costco zone.
Oh, but next time you've got one of those carts, especially the big ones at Costco, just be aware that there are people in that store other than you and whoever the hell you decide to chat with in the middle of the aisle. Just use your brains. If you're reaching for something and there's somebody with a cart that's stopped on the left side, don't stop right beside them. Just push it a little bit ahead so that people can still get past. That's all I'm saying. Just a little bit of courtesy in this world, and we'll all be happier. Well, I do believe that is a podcast for this Wednesday, October the 15th. Go forth and enjoy your Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday.
Until then.